All right. Well, we're going to start our first gathering with something a little bit different. And we didn't know it was going to necessarily happen in this order, but we trust that it is God's providence and it's good that it happens this way. I wrote out what I'm going to say to choose my words carefully. So given current events, we've had lots of questions from the Well family and friends of the Well family about what we think about some of the conversations, some of the disagreements that are happening culturally, online, politically. We've addressed some of these things over the last few years broadly, but not specific to the current events of the last few months. So, to answer the questions we have received, and to bring clarity, we've drawn up five statements. We know it's likely that some, that what we're going to say as elders, for some we're saying too much. And we know it's likely for others we're saying too little. We would ask that whatever your opinion is, that we as a Well Church family would fight hard to maintain unity, love, and the bond of peace. So if I could call my fellow pastors up here, in response to the multiple questions that we have received, given the current events, we want to affirm these five things. Please note we're missing one of our guys, Justin. He got called into work. He's a nurse. And so he got called into work, so he can't join us. He actually did a lot of the labor on drawing the rough draft of this. So it's sad he can't be here, but he was on call this weekend and has to work. So, yes, we use this one.
Morning, Well. First one, we, the elders of the Well Community Church, condemn racism, defined as the belief that race is the primary determinant of human traits and capacities, and that racial differences produce an inherent superiority of a particular race. Racism is a sinful and unbiblical belief. We condemn speech and actions based in racist thoughts and ideals. These actions can include everything from laws to hiring practices to our education systems. Our court system and the media can all be used to disproportionately disadvantage people of color. This is sinful and should not be. All of humanity has a common ancestry originating in Adam and Eve. We are all created by God and bear his image.
We support and affirm the statement, Black Lives Matter. We, however, do not support or affirm the organization that has taken the statement for its name. The broader goals and values of the organization are not congruent with biblical definitions of sin and righteousness, and are therefore incompatible with the effort to take up one's cross and follow Jesus. We feel that it is important to affirm the statement, Black Lives Matter, because historically, the message has not been demonstrated by our laws, our culture, and our media. In the Declaration of Independence, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are declared inalienable rights given for all men by their Creator. Before and since those words were penned, our nation has placed stumbling blocks in the path of African Americans attempting to pursue these rights. As a people who call on Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we should seek to emulate the Good Samaritan. See Luke 10, 25 through 37. By not ignoring our suffering neighbors and seeking to do that which we can do to assist them.
Trying to get this little protector over the mic here.
Okay.
We, the elders of the Well Community Church, support the necessity of law enforcement. We have personally witnessed societies that lack organized law enforcement. These places have universally descended into chaos, which allows the strong to victimize the weak, particularly the poor and the vulnerable. Law enforcement officers have an incredibly difficult job. They are often asked to do much too much with too little resources. However, we believe there is room for improvement in community policing to make it more efficient with fewer incidents of excessive force. And let me quickly add that we do not support illegal activities of law enforcement personnel.
We, the elders of the Well Community Church, we condemn the violence and property damage from all parties prior to and during protests. Physical violence ideally should only be used in defense of life and safety. We condemn the undue violence committed by police, as well as that committed by protesters and counter-protesters. We condemn the property damage committed by all parties. People are more important than property. But these two are often very difficult to separate. There are people behind the property being destroyed. Damage to property can be an injury to the property owner. Many people have lost their livelihoods because of the damage done to property during protests. These include both business owners and those they employ.
We, the elders of the Well Community Church, affirm the need for systemic change to eliminate racial disparities in education, achievement, wealth, health, and quality of life. We should walk out Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Behind systemic racial inequality is a greater problem, and that problem is sin. There will always be injustice and inequity as long as the world is affected by the sinful heart of humanity. The only solution to the problem of sin is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. We hope that brings clarity again to many of the things people have been asking us. We welcome your questions. Again, for some we've said too much, and for others we've said too little, but we would request that we fight hard to maintain love and unity in the bond of peace, even where we disagree. Let me pray. Our great God and Father, the King of all the universe, we submit ourselves to you. In these times that you in your great wisdom have placed us, in this great city that you in your wisdom have placed us, we ask for wisdom to conduct ourselves in a way that is honoring to you, in a way that speaks well of the gospel, in a way that is biblically accurate, in a way that is comprehensive and kind. We submit to you these things we've said, O God, and we ask for your clarity and wisdom. We believe them to be accurate and to biblically reflect the whole of Scripture and what you're teaching us and how to respond, and we submit that to you, Lord. We do pray for wisdom in our congregation and unity in our church, that even as we might disagree on particulars, that, Lord, you would keep us unified. You would help us to love one another well. And you would deliver us from evil, from the lies and self-deceit of pride or disunity, that we would walk together in the bond of peace as a true demonstration of the gospel of Jesus. Thank you for a diverse congregation, ethnically, politically, socioeconomically, What a gift. And we pray, Lord, that the gift of diversity would not produce seeds of disunity, but would only further demonstrate the glory of our God and King, of a people very different and yet united in the cross, for the glory of King Jesus in all the earth and in Portland, Oregon. We submit this to you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers. I want to preface what I'm saying with two statements. First one is this. I am feeling particularly troubled, even irritated, if I'm honest, by some of the ways we as a church, and by church I don't mean just the Well community, but I mean the church see Christians, by some of the ways we have responded to the current situation. Some of my comments will no doubt reveal my irritation and come across as a bit salty, as the kids say. I want to prepare you for that. You will hear that in my language. Second preface is to say this is a two-part message. Because we're having two smaller services, we don't want and cannot have those two services cross paths, because this would put us over the allowed number of people, being 50. So we are seeking to make our services shorter in length. So we're going to split this in half. This will be part one. Next week, part two. Please do not weigh all that we say until after next week, when this message is complete. Brothers and sisters, these are obviously unique times. We have had the trifecta of a global pandemic, racial injustice and tension, and civil unrest that has turned violent, including this way not very far from here and this way not very far from here. We have never really lived through anything like this before, to have these all three things come together. There are a few choices, a few options that we as the people of God have in how we respond and how we react. Number one, we can retreat. We can choose to disengage. It's too tense. I want to go away to a quiet place, literally or figuratively, and check out. I have been very tempted, if I'm honest, to pursue option one. I'm looking for cheap cabins somewhere where there's land. Number two, we have the option to put our head in the sand and deny reality. We can pretend that what is happening is not really there. We can create our own narrative to lessen the uncertainty and provide comfort, even if it's a false comfort. Number three, we can resort to panic and alarmism. We can literally freak out, scream as loud as we can that the world is indeed coming to an end. We can act like God is not in control, that he is not working all things for his glory and our good. We can instead see all of this like a balloon in the wind, taken where the wind takes it, with no hope of going a different direction. Or fourthly, we can reminisce about the good old days. All of us, most of us, have times in our life when we can look back and think on, man, I'd had not a care in the world. Now, there was plenty of other stuff going on in the world, but for us in that particular moment, it was a time of perhaps ease. It was our good old days. For me, I could go back to the 90s, put on my Walkman, listen to Heavy D and Johnny Gill, talk about when I had not a care in the world but to eat, drink, and play basketball. Those were my good old days. Not like this present craziness. I want to go back there. Or fifthly, we can get mean and critical. We point fingers. We find places to place blame. We revert to name-calling and character assassinations. Perhaps even playing the self-appointed prophet, calling out people who we perceive as wrong. Never mind that we don't have the experience, character, credibility, or competence to be an authority on the given topic. I have a keyboard and an internet connection. Let me go on and tell the world the right way to think. Sixthly, we can become hopeless and despairing. All we see in the coming days is darkness. There is not light at the end of the tunnel or good things coming from within this. It's all bad. And we feel like we are on a bleak highway in a dark tunnel with unlimited miles and days ahead. Or seventhly and lastly, tribalism. This is perhaps the most insidious and dangerous. Instead of looking at things comprehensively and circumspectively, instead of appreciating nuance and complexity, instead of filtering all things said and done from all sides through Scripture, we pick a camp. And we label the other camp as all bad. And then we uncritically accept everything from our camp and uncritically deny everything from the other camp. We are no longer responsible, thoughtful, and biblical, but parrots of a particular club. Or, dear family, we can choose another way. We can choose the way of our ancestors. The historical, global, multi-ethnic church of Jesus Christ, birthed among opposition, strengthened in trial and persecution. It is the way of Jesus, the promised Messiah, the Son of God. We can choose His way. We can respond as He did and instructs us to. I apologize for being so loud, but the conviction is strong and the anger is real. His response, brothers and sisters, and how He instructs us to respond can be summed up in, quote, the greatest commandment. Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 40. Let me read it. Jesus is in this time of being tested. Religious leaders are constantly looking for a way to catch Him in His words, to trip Him up so they might condemn Him. And verse 35 of Matthew chapter 22, and one of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question to test Him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Dear Well family, the elders of the Well Community Church submit to you that in response to COVID, in response to racial tension, in response to civil unrest, our call is to love God and love other people more than we ever have before. That the defining remembrance of this season for us would not be any of these other responses, which are rooted in the flesh, which are rooted in fear, which are rooted in unbiblical thinking. But that this season would result in the people of God loving their God and loving people with more gusto than we ever have before. What therefore does it mean to love God in this season? Part one. Part two, next week, what does it mean to love others in this season? I submit to you there's actually six. There are surely more. You will no doubt identify some I've missed, but these are specifically applied to our current situation. What does it mean to love God in this season? Number one, to love God in this season means to do what Psalm 46:10 says. Be still and know that I am God. It is so noisy right now, culturally. Let's pause. Let's stop. Let's quiet ourselves and reflect on Him. He is sovereign. He is good. Our God stands at the beginning and the end of human history, guiding all of it towards His will, including our present circumstances. Turn off the TV. Fast from social media, or get off it entirely. Stop listening to the 24-hour news cycle. Quiet ourselves under the goodness of our God. In going through the Gospels, I'm reminded again and again how often Jesus withdrew from the crowds. He withdrew from all the pressing needs, and He prayed by Himself to God the Father. He was the incarnate Son of God, the crucified and risen Savior of the world, and yet felt the need to step aside from the crowds and noise and be alone and reflect and pray. How much more should we, His people, follow His example? To love God in this season means to be still and know that He is God. Number two, to love God in this season, we submit to you, means to trust Him entirely. Again, in reading through the Gospels, I'm reminded of Jesus' holy impatience for lack of faith. The disciples in a storm, frightened for their life. Why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Matthew 8. Peter walking on water and starting to sink. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Matthew 14. The disciples cannot free a boy from the grip of a demon and ask Jesus why. Because of your little faith. Matthew 17, among other examples of Jesus, His holy impatience for people that don't trust. Brothers and sisters, whose baskets are we placing our eggs? Government? Law enforcement, family, friends, work, savings or retirement plans. Not that those things are bad. They're good. But these things cannot satisfy. These things cannot sustain. Psalm 27, some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Elisha in 2 Kings 6. The king of Syria is on a mission to catch Elisha because Elisha's prophetic gifting keeps blowing up the king's plans. He knows what the king is going to do before the king does it or before the king announces it, and it's ruining the king's plans. So he goes on a mission, does the king of Syria, to catch him. Elisha's servant goes out one morning and sees an army of horses and chariots surrounding the city. The servant goes in and cries out to Elisha, "What shall we do?" Quote, Elisha says, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Brothers and sisters, the Lord God of heaven and earth is with us in power. To love him in this current cultural moment is to trust him entirely. Thirdly, and this is where I get particularly salty, by the way, to love God in this season means to humble ourselves before him. This, dear brothers and sisters, is an age of pride. The loud, the selfish, and the arrogant, the overly confident are given a platform and a microphone. The self-promoting are everywhere. And some are taking the social isolation resulting from the pandemic to poke, prod, and build a digital following. But some of them, dear friends, do not know what they are talking about. If they were with people in person, rubbing shoulders each week in the gathering of the local church each week, as Brenda reminded me this morning, there is nothing better than the gathered congregation. There's nothing like it. If we were doing that each week, which the pandemic has not allowed us to do, it would likely be evident that many of these loud voices don't have the character or the experience or the credibility or the competency to say what they are saying, creating division and disunity among God's people. Because behind a screen and the protection of an anonymous keyboard, they sound like a genius. But brothers and sisters, many of these voices do not know what they are talking about. It would be like me talking to my son, who plays middle linebacker for his high school football team. Well, he did and hopefully will when COVID makes it possible. I get in his face after a game and I say, "Hey, son, this is how you tackle. This is what you do to bring the opposing team down. But you know what? There's a problem with that. Because I've never played a down of football in my life. I've never stood on a grass field on a cold, wet October Northwest evening and had two young men, 6'2", 250, trying to take my knees out while my responsibility is to tackle this young, fast, speedy man coming straight at me who's looking to put his shoulder into my chest as hard as he can. I've never had to do that. So what do I have to tell him how to do it? If I have sense, I will come alongside my handsome and strong son and say, "Son, way to play. Good tackle. I don't have the courage to do what you just did. You are my number one hero." Brothers and sisters, this is happening all over the world right now. But we humans are but a vapor. We are here 1 minute and gone the next. As Jill so wonderfully explained to us last week in Ecclesiastes, death comes to us all. We will be forgotten. Someone will take our place. There's no room for pride and arrogance, for we are a finite and temporary creation that will soon be lost to history. We would do well to follow the example of Job. When God asks him, "Job, where were you at when I created everything? And Job, where are you at now as I'm sustaining everything?" And Job responds, chapter 40, verse 4 and 5, "Behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once, and I will not answer twice, but I will proceed no further." May the Well Community Church be marked in this season by humility as we love our God and humble ourselves under his mighty and good hand. Fourthly, to love God in this season means to rejoice in him. Can you hear it? Can you hear the sound of an approaching army of angels? Can you hear the roar of multi-ethnic, multilingual celebration? Can you hear the terror of judgment and the singing of redemption? I can. Not with my physical ears, I hear it from the pages of Scripture. That soon this world will pass away. The pain of injustice and violence and sickness will be gone. The restoration of all things is at hand. The kingdom of our God and of his Christ has broke into human history in the person and work of Jesus in his first coming. And we are experiencing the kingdom of God in part as men and women and children come to faith, love God, love others in the world. There is much to rejoice in that, and we experience in part even this morning. And upon his second coming, we will experience it in full. This was never meant to be the fullness of the kingdom of God until our Lord and Savior comes back and destroys his final enemies, death, sin, and evil. Jesus told his disciples in Luke 10 after coming back from doing great works, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Let this season propel the Well Community Church to joyful worship of our risen King. Fifthly, to love God in this season means to read the Bible. That's a little snarky, I know. It's intended to be so, in love. The Bible's words, brothers and sisters, are the very words of God. How we think, feel, and respond should firstly and primarily be shaped by God's views and opinions. And yet, it would seem that many of us are not responding according to God's instructions, but from Twitter feeds, Facebook posts, and news stories. May I make a strong suggestion? for the next month, only engage in media after you have spent considerable time reading and reflecting on Scripture. And if you have not done that, do not engage with media. If you have not wrestled with the content and meaning of the very words of our God, why give the time to wrestle with the multiple opinions of broken and sinful human beings? In my opinion, dear friends, it is a tragedy that we will spend hours per week on multiple digital platforms and barely crack the words of our God. It is feeding our immaturity. To love God in this season, dear brothers and sisters, and I say this with grace and love, even in my own snarkiness, read the Bible thoroughly, deeply, slowly, patiently. Come to it as if you are coming to a gourmet feast, because that is what you are coming to, which will nourish your soul, which will shape your perceptions, will correct your wrong thinking, will expose you to a new paradigm. I flip open Oregon Live, I read it, I'm anxious, I'm tense, I'm angry, I'm troubled, I'm sad, I'm confused. And then I read the words of my risen King in Luke chapter 6. And peace fills my heart. Perspective governs my capacities. Read the Bible. Lastly, to love God in this season means to obey Him. If you love me, Jesus said, you will keep my commandments. Obedience to the words of our God is not optional. It's not a good idea, but I can do what I feel in the moment I want to do. If that is how I respond, I don't love Jesus. If you love me, said our Savior, you will keep my commandments. Read the Bible and do what it commands. Trust what it tells us to trust. Respond how it tells us to respond. Treat others how it tells us to treat others. In sports radio, which I'm a junkie of, I can't get enough of it, they call that the tease before the commercial break. They tell us what they're going to talk about after the commercial break so that we will tune in after the commercial break to see what LeBron is going to do next. And they've got me hooked. Treat others how it tells us to treat them. In person and in digital communication. Next week. Demonstrate our genuine love for our Lord by doing what He says. This is the conclusion to part one. Part two next week. May our Lord God help us to love Him in this season. For the glory and honor of your name, King Jesus, and the exalting of the person and work of Christ among all tribes and peoples and languages. In this great city with countless followers of you and to the ends of the earth, O God, may your name be exalted. May your people be blessed as we love you and love others, as we are salt and light, and as we await the return of our King. Amen.